In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to St. Peter's. It's a beautiful summer day. It's good to be back with you. It's good to be back home. For the last 2 weeks, I've been at what's my general convention. If you're new to the Episcopal Church, or if you've never really cared much about the governance of the Episcopal Church, and you're not alone, the general convention takes place every 3 years. Bishops and clergy and lay folks from every diocese in the Episcopal Church get together to set the course for the church in the coming years and to pass legislation and make decisions. So, to give you a little bit of a picture, general convention is the largest governing body in the world. There are 880 people in the House of Deputies. It's a bicameral body for Congress. So there's the House of Bishops, the House of Deputies. House of Bishops, only bishops. House of Deputies, there are four priests and four leaders in every diocese in the Episcopal Church. 110 dioceses means 880 people. Every time you pass a piece of legislation, it has to pass both houses. There were 400 plus pieces of legislation this year. Every time I go to this, it is a solid reminder that I will never, ever run for office. But of all the general conventions I've been to, this was the fourth. It was far and away the most positive, mainly because of our new presiding bishop, Michael Curry, for whom this was his first general convention to preside. And his first sermon, which was 40 minutes long, which was excellent. And we mentioned he's coming the same year as before. Heard us talk about this October 14th. I hope he reaches 40 minutes there, because you'll love it. But he charted the course for what he is calling the way of love. And as everybody walked out of church, we were given these handouts, something that you could put in your wallet, something you could put on your coffee table, that outline the way of love. There are seven components to it. I'm not going to get into them all this morning. We're going to do that in the coming weeks. But to make it clear about what it is to walk in the way of love as Jesus taught us to love, to be part of the Jesus movement, to be part of the body of Christ, to go out into the world and share the good news that Jesus taught us and gave us to share. It was extraordinary. It was extraordinary to see about 10,000 folks from around the Episcopal Church gather together to be inspired by this message, to learn how we were all going to go back into our communities around the United States, around the world, to share the good news. So with that in mind, I want to talk about this lesson that we heard this morning from Ephesians. I don't know if you know this, but Ephesians is dense. It is chock full. If you're going to think about different books of the Bible, let's say in architectural terms, we'll look at one end of the spectrum. The Gospel of Mark is like the modern minimalist architecture of the Bible. It's short, it's succinct. If you've ever been in a minimalist home where there's, you know, one vase on the table, there are three objects in the room. Everyone has its meaning and has its purpose. That's the Gospel of Mark. Every sentence is succinct, it is brief, every word packs a powerful punch. Ephesians is like a Baroque palace of reading. I mean, it is chock full of words, and every word has its meaning. If you've ever been to Europe, if you've ever toured a Baroque palace, you can imagine the architect at the time saying, why have one invaluable object in the room when you can have a thousand? And every one is its own treasure, its own masterpiece. But any room you walk into is just absolutely full of it. That is Ephesians. So let's read just again the first sentence of this lesson together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy. And the church in Ephesus is going through a bit of a turmoil, an internal crisis. They're fighting one another. Because the church of Ephesus is really made up of two different groups of folks. There are the Jewish Christians. There are those folks who have been Jewish their whole lives, but they believe that Jesus is the Messiah. But they also believe that true holiness comes from your ability to follow the law. So following all of the laws about what you are and are not supposed to eat, about what you are and are not supposed to wear, about how you observe the Sabbath, a lot of rigorous laws. But they believe that Jesus is their Messiah. So the other half of the community are the Gentile Christians, the folks who have been pagan, or they knew nothing about God until finally they hear about Jesus, and they've converted in. And they don't follow any of the laws. They eat bacon as much as they want. They probably play golf on Sunday morning, or whatever the equivalent of golf is. In first century Turkey, where Ephesus was, Ephesus is. So you have one group that feels they have to follow all the laws, got all the I's, or got all the I's, cross all the T's. You have the other group that just feels they can walk in willy nilly and receive the grace of God. And that didn't make for good community. So into this, Paul writes his letter. And Paul is effusive in explaining to them the grace of God. He says, every single one of you, whether you are Jewish, whether you are Gentile, regardless, every one of you is an adopted child of God. Every single one of you is an heir, a full recipient of God's promise, of God's grace, of God's love. No matter who you are, no matter where you have come from, you have received the fullness of God's grace. And if you are willing to set your hope on Christ, then the abundance and the lavishness of God's love is yours. All you have to do is receive it and share it with one another. And Paul is effusive in claiming this because they don't quite believe it. You know, there are plenty of folks there who think that they don't yet deserve it. Maybe they think that because of their own sins, because of their own faults, because of their own misdeeds, that they don't get to have the grace of God. Maybe some of them think that the other folks that haven't tried hard enough don't get to have the grace of God. And we Christians, for 2,000 years, have really messed up understanding of who gets the grace of God and who doesn't. But I think when it comes down to us individually, every Christian at some point in our lives questions whether we deserve the gifts of God. Questions whether we really deserve God's love and God's grace and the abundance that Paul talks about. And Paul reminds us that we do. So this past week, Hopi and I watched a TV show. Every now and then we try to trade off who gets views. And Hopi sometimes likes some of the home improvement shows and the life improvement shows. And the home improvement shows, I think, are about as boring as watching the paint dry. So there you go, that's my joke for the morning. But she says, there's one I really want you to watch. I said, okay, it's called Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. I don't know if any of you have seen the show, but it's five guys who are gay, and they go in and they adopt somebody, and somebody usually needs some adoption. And they go in and they try to transform their life quickly. Maybe they don't know how to dress, or maybe their house is a mess, or something, but they go in and change their lives. If the whole series is as good as the one show that Hopi started in the off on, then I recommend it. Because this one, she got me hooked by saying, it's really about the church. So they found this one. Bear with me. So they were going to go in and adopt this woman named Miss Candy from a rural town in Georgia of 89 people. And Candy is somebody who has dedicated every second of her life to help her children every afternoon. She takes care of her family and her community. And because of this, she never really takes care of herself. Her house is a mess. She survived cancer. Her hair is still really short. She barely buys clothes for herself. So these five guys are going to go down and transform her. But what ends up happening is that Tammy is about the holiest person I've ever seen on TV. And they go in and change her life, and she changes theirs. So at the beginning of the episode, she wants to show them her church. And she's walking in that, and one of the guys, who's part of the five, refuses to go in. And he eventually says to the camera, "I grew up in a church just like this one. But the minute that I told my community that I was gay, they turned their back on me. And I've never felt that I could go into a church again." Later in the episode, she finds the time to sit down with this young man on her front porch. She grabs him by the hand and she says, "Let me tell you something. You are a child of God. God created you, and God loves you, and don't you ever let somebody tell you differently. You are loved by God." Well, he just kind of bursts into tears, as anyone else would if somebody sits down and says the same thing to us. And at the end of the episode, her house has been transformed. She's got a new outfit. She goes to the new community center that they have decorated, and it's the most stunning community center I've ever seen. It will be second only to our parish hall downstairs when it's done. We're still raising money for that. But at the end of the episode, she sits down with each one of these guys. And she says to them, "Over the last week, here's the gift that I have seen you have, and you have, and you have." And she says, "God put you on earth with that gift. Share it. Share it with abundance. Share it with the world that needs it. God gave you that gift that you may give to others." And now on Sunday morning, she invited them all to church with her. And she stood up and she said, "In our church, we haven't always been welcoming the folks that are gay." And she says, "Let me tell you how these five guys have changed my life this week. And look at what they have done for us." And she says to her congregation, "We cannot antagonize and evangelize at the same time. We've got to be open to sharing the good news with one another." It's on Netflix. Go watch it. I was in tears at the end of this. But Tammy understood clearly what Paul is saying to the Ephesians. She understood the lavishness of the love of God that God has given to all of us. And what Tammy knew is what we constantly have to hear week in and week out, is that the love of God only becomes more lavish when we share it. If we try to hold on to it just for me and myself, then it's lost. But if we share it, those communities, they grow and they blossom, just like the community did in Ephesus. Some of us have been lucky enough to know folks who live that way in their life. Some of us have those old ones, those people who show us the way. We can be that too. In our Eucharist every Sunday, right after the bread and wine has been sanctified, right before you come up and receive it, Kelly and I will turn around and we'll show you the bread and wine, and we will say, "The gifts of God, the people of God, the lavishness of God's love is the greatest gift that God has given to us. Go out and share it. Be the people of God. Share it with